Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Sarah Kewer.
And I'm Mickey Overman.
And this is Thank Fuck For That, a podcast in which we hear stories from our guests about the moments in their lives that might have changed everything.
Whether they are huge near misses or small, seemingly insignificant choices, we all have stories that we look back on and wonder, what if?
Our guests will bring us their best Thank Fuck For That moments so we can delight in how different their lives could have been.
Hello!
Here we are. We're back again.
Yeah.
Another podcast here with our friends. I'm working on it.
Okay. No, it's good.
That's
it's
the
really
first draft.
Good. It's really good.
Yeah?
Do you think there will be a second?
Oh, yeah, there's going to be a second. Oh, there's a second.
With your ADHD?
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. There's definitely going to
be
a second draft.
In 5 years' time.
I love that stuff that you've been talking about in your stand-up.
The ADHD stuff?
Yeah, the ADHD stuff, is particularly the bit where you talk about... how you've just given up.
Oh, that's new.
I like that a lot.
It's really bad.
I like that a lot.
Basically, I got a diagnosis of ADHD and people talk about this a lot when you get like a diagnosis of that kind of thing where for the first sort of few months or like years or so, like you stop masking it in that way. So often people who are diagnosed with like ASD or like autism finally go, oh, like... I realized how much effort I've been putting into trying to understand how other people communicate and like fitting in with social cues and norms. But I think it's a bit of an issue for me because I now if I feel myself kind of falling into like a low dopamine slump or like getting distracted or something, I'll be like, that's fine. It's just the ADHD.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I let it be the captain of the ship a little bit too often at the moment.
Do you think?
I'm like, okay, yeah. Well, I'll go where you want to go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I love that. The orb. Yeah, it's really interesting. It's like you found your excuse.
Yeah.
As opposed to you found your explanation.
It's so bad. I called my mom and I was like, just got a diagnosis of ADHD. So that means I never did anything wrong my whole life. And she's like, oh, I want ADHD.
Yeah. Plus, I won't be calling anymore.
Yeah.
All right.
Like, goodbye. See you never.
See you never. Yeah, it is really funny that like you can just kind of like retroactively excuse a lot of the things that you did.
Mm. I remember because I used to just it was big as big issue was just like being so disorganized and like not having the stuff I needed to take to school like ready. So like if it was like cooking ingredients or PE kit or anything like that, I would not have thought about it the night before. And then suddenly in the morning, I'd be like, I need all of these things. And my mom would be like losing her mind. She'd be like, if you just tell me, we can do this. Like organization is so simple if you communicate with me. But then in the reverse, like leaving stuff at school that I was meant to take home with me. And I remember once when I was in primary school, I played the saxophone and my mom would get annoyed at me if I left my saxophone at school.
Right.
But also, everyone in my primary school would change their shoes into their PE kit shoes because the school didn't stop you from wearing your trainers all day. But my mum was like, no, you wear school shoes to school. And one time I wore my trainers home by accident, and my mum was really mad. She was like, why am I buying you school shoes if you're they sit in a box all day and you're running around in your trainers? It's right. So stupid. And so I was like, every day was
my
like
my mum would have mad at, been mad at that.
Yeah, I was like, every day you got to change your shoes. You got to change your shoes back before you go and meet your mum. And I like ran to meet my mum at the end of the day, realized I wasn't wearing my school shoes, ran back to the classroom, burst through the door of the classroom. And my teacher was there like, ah, I thought you'd be back. And I was like, I know, because of the shoes. And he was like, no, because of the saxophone. And I was like, oh, great. You just saved my life, man.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. You really distracted me while telling me the story by saying cooking ingredients.
Yeah, we'd do cooking in school. You'd have like...
What?
Yeah, so we'd have cooking lessons in school. So we had...
Did you have cooking lessons?
No.
Did you not?
No.
Really?
What is this class? Very common thing. So it's like DT, design technology. And you'd have
design technology?
Well, food tech, right?
Food tech, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
We didn't have that though.
No. So you'd do food tech, but like DT was like a rolling thing. So within it, you'd do like textiles, so learning to sew and stuff. And then you'd do like graphic design.
Oh, this is like what used to be like women's classes.
Yeah.
When women had like
But they made everyone do it and then you could choose.
Good, yeah.
Yeah. So, yes.
That is progress.
But then it also included like, graphic design and like woodwork and stuff and like electronics and things. So
we had that.
Yeah.
That was called technique.
Yeah, okay. But one of them was cooking.
We did not have any. I love that though.
Yeah.
I think they should have that.
They should
have way more practical skills in school. They should teach children like how to do their finances.
You should just fully know how to do a tax return or something like
100%.
that. 100%. Or like even like a CV.
Yeah.
I don't think we got taught to do a CV in school, which is like, feels like the first thing they should teach you on day one.
I think we were taught how to do a CV. Yeah. But we were not, but any of the like kind of practical skills, like cooking, we didn't have.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, maybe I understand the cooking thing, but not really. Like you should teach children about nutrition, about finance, about all of these things.
Yeah, we had that, like food groups and all that kind
of
thing.
Right, yeah. No, we were not taught any of that.
But we weren't taught any financial things.
No, me neither.
They should teach you how to open a bank account.
They 100% should. It's kind of mad that like that stuff is left to parents when it's like there's a very varying degree of skill within parents because they might not be good at that stuff.
I remember having like a full module on the ethics of euthanasia and I didn't know how to open a bank account.
Yeah.
I opened for Taylor Tomlinson.
Yes, let's talk about
that. I did, which is so exciting.
Oh my goodness.
At the London Palladium. This...
Where you did your own show.
Where I did my own show. No, I didn't.
Where was your... Oh, Bloomsbury.
Bloomsbury did. Significantly smaller theatre. I was like, oh, you're joking.
You're making a joke. For a second, I thought you actually had done it then.
No.
Yeah, Bloomsbury. Ooh, sorry.
Very different capacities. No.
How was it? Tell me everything.
It was so fun. I was very well looked after. The gigs were amazing. The first one I did, because I did two dates in the end, the first one I did, I like was chatting to a couple in the front row. I'd done like the audiences were amazing both times, like really enthusiastic and enthusiastic for the support acts, which like doesn't always happen, but
it's rare.
Really up for it and keen, which is just like so nice because often you feel like you're just falling on your sword when you're opening for people. So
yes, 100%.
It was so fun to feel like they gave me my moment there.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like talking to a couple on the front row and I was like, oh, how long you been together? And they were like 6 years. And I was like, that's so nice. I was like, how did you meet? And they went, Afghanistan. So I was like, I'm on stage at the London Palladium. And we've arrived at Afghanistan. I was like,
so
I got 4 minutes left.
Yeah.
Where we're going with this. And loads of people cheered when they said they met in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I have no idea how many Americans are in this room right now.
Right.
And I'm on like slightly rocky territory.
Yeah.
So I that's what I did. I basically just went, oh, like make some noise if you're an American person. And like about the same amount of people cheered. And I was like, that makes perfect sense. Because there was like a mixed reaction in this room where all the Americans were like, yeah. And all the British people were like, actually, it's a very complicated issue. And we support you as people, but violence is never the answer. And like, that was kind of a nice way of handling it. But I was like,
really well done.
Fuck me. They they threw me a real...
Really well done.
Curveball there. But the best part was, the funniest thing that happened wasn't even something I did during my set, was I said, like, I basically was like, how do you get horny in Afghanistan? Like, where's the space for being horny in Afghanistan? And this woman went, there are corners everywhere. I was like, that is excellent.
That's what a really
wonderful
funny.
Fighting spirit.
That's really funny. Yeah. Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, it was good fun.
And Taylor was lovely.
Taylor was so lovely. What a great person.
Yeah.
And
I saw, because she posted about you like quite
posted,
a bit.
Yeah.
And
real supportive.
It was really warming my heart. Warming my cold Dutch heart.
Yeah. You're thriving today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm warm for the first warmed. Time.
Yeah. I was like, this is weird. You got some colour in your cheeks. But yeah, she was a real nice person.
Yeah.
Real supportive.
She gave you like so much love.
Yeah. But you can tell like the bar in the comedy industry is so low, where I'm like, she was so nice. And I didn't know whether she was going to be nice.
Yeah.
Because sometimes people aren't nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she was great.
Oh, that's
real
so nice.
Yeah.
A
real meet your heroes moment, I think.
Yeah, that is a meet your heroes moment. Mm. I just love the fact that, like, you meant to go to that show. You had tickets to go to that show.
Yeah.
And then she messaged you on Instagram and was like, do you want to open for me? Which is, like, so cool.
So nice. And I told her, I was like, I'd love to, because the only other plans I had that night were coming to see you. And then she was like, I'll reimburse your tickets. And I was like, oh, like, my girlfriend still wants to come and my friend has already taken my chair.
Yeah.
And like, I messaged,
she took it 1 second after this.
I messaged Louise. She was like, great news. If you're on stage, can I have your ticket?
Yeah. Immediately.
And then Taylor kept being like, I really want to meet your girlfriend, like throughout the first, she was like, oh yeah, like get her back here after the show. And the first thing she said to Louisa, she was like, it's great to meet you, thank you so much for coming, and also I'm really sorry I ruined your date night.
Oh,
really sweet.
That is so nice.
Louisa was like, yeah, you did.
Yeah.
You suck.
You owe me
sucked. Anyway, have a great show.
Do you think it's just something about the name Taylor that gets you excited?
Yeah.
That's it. Just whatever person.
The Taylor Lautner.
Taylor Lautner. Yeah. Big fan.
Tailored suits.
Yeah. Who's Taylor?
Tailored suits.
Oh, tailored suits.
Who's tailored suits? What do they do? I've never heard of them.
So sincere.
Who is that?
So sincere.
Amazing.
Sounds nice.
That's just reminded, I can't remember. I feel like I might have told this story on this podcast before. But it's just reminded me of like quite early on when Louisa and I were dating. We watched a movie with her brother. It must have been. No, it wasn't during. I think it was over Christmas or something. We watched. It's one of the shark films. I don't know if it was like The Meg or which is the one with Jason Statham in.
Oh, The Meg.
It's The Meg. And there's a bit in that film. I don't know whether I've told this. There's a bit in that film where they go to pull him out of retirement or whatever. They're like, you're the only guy that can do this
job. Yeah, that's a classic.
There's this team of people that are trapped under the ocean and we need someone to go down and save them from this big crazy shark. And they say at one point, this is like 20 minutes into the movie, and they go, and the thing that you should know is that your ex-wife is down there. And Louisa's brother went, your ex-wife? We haven't met Yurik. Why do we care? Who the fuck is Yurik?
Yeah, like,
that's the best thing.
Wonderful. Such wholesome fun.
Why do we care about Yurik's wife?
I don't care about Yurik. This is terrible movie making. Who wrote this?
It was just really funny.
That's lovely. Well, I think this was good.
I think this was good.
Yeah, I hope you enjoyed that. Guys, we need to get a guest in now.
How was that for you?
Always check in.
Let's get a guest in.
Our guest today is...
What a talented man we have in today.
Really talented. Shockingly talented.
Annoyingly talented.
Yeah.
I'm so mad.
Someone who the pandemic came around and really thrived.
Yeah. This guy was like, do you know what? I'm going to turn these lemons into lemonade.
Sure did.
Yeah, he did.
It is Alistair Beckett King.
King. What a king.
What a name.
What a Beckett. What an Alistair. Alistair is a very talented stand-up comedian.
Yes.
It makes incredible online content. He's
the best.
He's an illustrator as well, isn't he?
He does it all.
There's nothing this guy
and
can't
he's the
do.
Nicest man.
And he's nice.
Yeah.
So there's got to be something. Fuck? Something's going on.
We're really angry.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Tell us, so what the fuck's up? Right, when he walks in this room, I'm going to be so angry at him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
so let's get him.
Let's get him in.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hi, it's me, Sarah. Thank you so much for listening to Thank Fuck for That. If you're enjoying the podcast, please sign up to our Patreon to support us. We need some help making it. We're doing it all by ourselves. So please sign up, even if it's just £3 a month. That would make the world of difference. Thanks so much. Here's the episode. Alistair Beggar King is here.
Alistair Beggar King.
Oh, there's no preamble. No. You just both look at me and shout my name. That's so alarming.
We preamble without you.
What?
Yeah.
So I just appear.
Yeah. You appear. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this is just so distressing for me and the listener.
Not like
I
a puff of smoke.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. It's we have like a little bit of music, mm-hmm. and then we shout.
So, okay, from their point of view, then they'll have been nicely eased into my presence.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's very
jarring for me. You're the only one that's upset.
Oh, okay.
Welcome to the bar.
I'm making this situation a problem. Fine. Yeah. Thank you. Thank
we
you so
you
much.
We bring you into a room, we yell your name.
Yeah.
You don't
and
like
that's,
it?
That's the whole premise. It's just, you just
yell
my name.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks so much for doing this.
And eventually you break.
This has been such a treat. Thank you. Let me just do a few plugs and I'll go.
It's very nice to have you in. How are you today?
I'm well. I've got a cup of unpleasant coffee. I won't say the brand, but I got it from the machine.
They're not good.
Mm.
Would you call it a cup of Joe?
I wouldn't. No, it's like a cup of John. A simulacrum of Joe.
Yeah.
While it was making it, the graphic said, "We're crafting your coffee," and it's like I can see grayish water trickling into like. And also, who's we? Because I'm the only person here.
You're a robot.
This is a lie. You can't. Put a screen aside.
Wait, so is it one of the machines that's in a grocery store?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it was like, crafting your coffee.
If you ordered a coffee in a cafe and somebody went into a back room and then poked their head out of the back room and went, "We're crafting your coffee right now."
I'd love that.
You'd be like, "They're pissing in my coffee."
Really?
They're up to no good.
Different vibe.
No, I'd be like, "I'm getting the star treatment."
Yeah. You're like, "The elves are involved in this."
Yes, the little elf and the shoemaker.
Yeah.
Making my coffee.
Tiny little coffee hammers.
This is magical.
Yeah,
and you're like, "They're pissing in my coffee."
Yeah, I mean, I've been hurt by the world, guys.
So this is a very clear worldview problem.
If you know what elves are like, I mean, the elves are pissing everywhere.
Absolutely.
Okay. You know elves.
They're not just pissing in the coffee.
What are we imagining here? Like Lord of the Rings elves?
No, the little pixie
ones. They're pissing
ones.
Everywhere.
No, the little pixie
they're
ones.
They're making the coffee? Those elves?
Those are the ones I was thinking.
Yeah. Tiny streams of wheat. Not because like a Lord of the Rings elf would
I thought I Galadriel imagine. Is behind there squatting over your coffee cup.
She's
putting her eons of wisdom into my...
How we arrived at Lord of the Rings this quickly with you in the room?
It's just every single time.
I don't even really like Tolkien very much.
Have you ever been approached to be like an extra in anything like that?
Shockingly, no. Lots of people are constantly saying, you know, there's the modeling and acting agency Ugly for people who look weird. Are you familiar with it?
Because
people talk to me about it a lot. You should be thrilled that you've never heard of it.
I've never heard of it.
Giving me cards.
I feel good.
It's constant target advertisement in real life by your friends.
It's not just ugly people. It's also just weird looking people. So like for...
It's just specific distinctive looks.
Yeah, for being like a horrible jester in the corner of Game of Thrones or something.
Right, got it.
It's for that. And people just, strangers look at me and go, you know, he would be brilliant.
Right. That's such a good idea for an agency, isn't it?
It's a really good idea.
The rest of the agencies should all just be called proper fit.
Yeah, just really unrealistically attractive people.
Super fuckable people.
Yeah. I've also not been approached by any of those. I just want that to be very clear. Like,
so this is a podcast about life-changing moments. Do you consider yourself a dweller?
Do you dwell?
Oh, I think by the standards of stand-up comedians, which we are, I think I'm a happy person.
Thank you for saying that.
You shouldn't have to reinforce it, but these days I feel like we need to. I think I'm a relatively happy person. I don't think I'm particularly racked with shame and guilt. However, in preparing for this podcast, I've discovered that I am.
Yes, we broke it.
We got you.
Because you've asked for a variety of stories, and I've like positive ones and negative ones and cringe. And I think what I've got is just all cringe. I'm not sure all things that
we love a three cringe.
We love a three cringe.
Okay,
absolutely. Because we cringe all the time.
Pizza. Yeah.
We talk about like when we have new cringes and, you know, so it's
fresh
like,
cringe.
Yeah.
Because for me, I couldn't, if a cringe were fresh, I don't think I could talk about it.
Really?
This is only because these are historic. They're not
great. Okay.
They may be quite mild. I may just have a low cringe threshold.
We were talking about that moment when a cringe embeds and you go, oh, that one's going to stay with me for a while. Like it happens and you go, I'm going to think about that when I die.
Yeah.
A newly installed cringe.
Yeah. And well, you know, it's seeping in.
It's great that you're like a happy person, but it's also a relief to hear that you do feel shame.
Yeah, because otherwise, that's very dangerous.
That's what this podcast should have been called, Have You No Shame?
No, I'm a very guilty person. And I don't know whether... carry on. I became inarticulate with shame for a moment.
Ask you, so do you have a sort of like a near miss... moment.
I don't have a dramatic, violent one.
Oh, it doesn't need to be.
I was nearly swept out to sea once, but you said like Sean McLaughlin was nearly swept out to sea.
Yeah, but he's not hogging that.
No, the sea has been claimed by Sean McLaughlin.
Oh, no.
That's fine. I guess I'll just do a land-based anecdote, Sean.
He's taken the sea.
Yep, that's gone.
And I always knew he would.
Curse you, Neptune, and Sean McLaughlin.
And Sean McLaughlin.
My two nemeses.
They go off hot-handed.
So what's your land-based anecdote?
Well, it's... we were wrong to say I nearly went into the film industry, but I... Because that suggests that I was almost about to make it at any point, which is never true.
Right. Okay.
But since I was 16, I was trying to make films. Right. I wanted to be a film director. I decided when I was 16 and I went to university and I did film and I came to London to go to the London Film School. And it was at the very tail end of that that I switched around and started doing stand-up. And I have a couple of illustrative and cringe-heavy stories from when I was a film student.
Absolutely.
That hopefully will explain why it was such a horrible experience.
Absolutely.
Okay, so have you ever been on a student film set? Because sometimes they cast comedians often, and it's like, how many shots did they get done in a day?
Oh.
Did anything happen before lunchtime?
It's a lot of waiting.
There's so much waiting.
Yeah.
Like the whole of until like 1 p.m., it's just like one guy... slightly adjusting one light.
Yeah.
And everybody else is sitting down.
Just clarify, is a student film set just like an amateur film set?
I suppose so.
Yeah.
What distinguishes it from a professional?
Well, in my particular case, it was that they had people from every single department of the film school involved. So they're all heavily knowledgeable on their one subject, but also they don't know what they're doing yet.
Yeah,
so
practically,
they don't.
Presumably, nobody's been employed as the one in charge of everyone
else.
No
one's project managing it.
No, you can't. That's the thing. The sort of the hierarchy, the authority, the producer, the person who can say, this is happening now, doesn't exist in a student film.
No.
So it's like mostly it's a big argument. And So one time in particular, I was working on a film of a friend who is still a Facebook friend, so I won't name, but okay. I'm going to call him Pedro, which is not his name.
Oh my God.
Pedro Pascal. He would recognize his name. I was working on his film and I was the assistant director, which is supposed to be the person who says like, okay, lining up for the next shot, start the, roll cameras, that's all that, lights, camera, action, that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was going so badly. Like, we wanted to get 40 shots done a day. And I think at the end of the first day, we'd done about 4 shots. Scheduling was my job. So I was like, I think we need to cut down the number of shots for the future days, because we've only got 4 days to shoot it. And he, my friend, was like, no, I think we'll speed up. And I was like, I don't think we're going to, because like it's like a 10-to-1 ratio. Yeah. And not only do we have to do all of tomorrow and the day after shots, we have to do all the shots we didn't do today. So it's like every day it's getting worse. And I didn't have the ability to articulate that. So me and the producer and the director. So it's me and a Peruvian guy, the producer, and a Colombian guy, the director, went into one of those weird... Have you ever been to one of those weird
to
pubs?
To a bar?
Yes. Do you know those pubs that aren't pubs, which are just like a small front room in someone... Have you ever been to one of those, like a locals pub?
Yeah.
Oh, London, yeah.
Where as soon as you come in, everybody looks at you like... Who are you?
This is
our pub.
Yeah. Who left the door open?
Yeah. It was one room and it had there was a bar there, but it felt like being in somebody's parlor. And there were 3 guys, barman and 2 other guys, Londoners, North London, I think it was, like Kentish town, but it was like a back street. It was just the only place nearby that was open.
And they live there.
And they live in the pub. It's their house. And one of the guys, as soon as he came in, said, all right, lads, oi. And he pointed at my friend and he said, he's got a hat. Pointed at my Colombian friend. And he pointed at my Peruvian friend and said, he's got a hat. And then he pointed at me. I wasn't wearing a hat. And he said, you're not wearing a hat.
Was he right?
Yeah. No, okay. Fair play to the lad. I was the only one not wearing a hat. But he pointed to next to him on the bar. And there was just a flat cap on the bar, which he tried to sell me. And I don't know if that was his flat cap or if that was another drinker had died earlier and been carried out leaving the hat, and he thought here's an opportunity to make.
I absolutely respect this.
Dollar.
The hustle culture.
Yeah, exactly.
A gap in your market.
Exactly. So what a hatless gentleman. I'm just shocked that we managed to get out of there without getting like Britain firsted. The 3 of us, because we were a weird trio, because we were so tense as well, because we'd been arguing all day and we came in there to sort it out, and we did.
I just have to say, like, you know when they do those like Tony Robinson or whatever, like sort of seminars where they're trying to tell you how to be a salesman, and it's like, they're like, sell me this pen. Mm-hmm. And it's like, the thing that you're supposed to do is you're supposed to create a scenario where they feel like they need the pen. So this guy was creating it by saying, you have a hat, you don't have a hat. He was creating a scenario where you felt a lack that needed filled.
Yes.
He's maybe a genius.
Still not wearing a hat.
And an intense social... I still don't really wear hats. It's the hair is the issue. I've got long hair.
He didn't take that into account.
He didn't take that into account.
We'll actually have a nice range of hats, right?
Various sizes.
I pull open my shirt. It's full of hats.
It was you! Yeah. Like, all along, of course.
So I'm made of hats.
So you're coming
just
out of there.
Take one.
So you're still hatless. You're tense.
Yeah, so I didn't buy the hat. We had a really, really tense conversation. We came up with a deal, which was like, we agreed I would stop yelling at him during the shoot if he stopped interfering with all the other departments. Like you say, it's 9 people fighting and the director wants to get in and do the lights. It's like, just do your thing and then we can do it. And we came up with a deal. And the next day, like, I think he broke the deal. Like, I saw him fiddling with a light. And so I told him off in front of the actor, which is what he didn't want me to do.
Because,
egos and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
And so he took me to one side to really, he had that sort of, can we have a private word, please?
Kind of moment. Shaky anger.
Yeah. And so he took me through and he took me into another room. But here's the thing. This is how in the film he was. We were on a set. So when he took me through into another room, it wasn't a real other room. It was just another room of this. They're just made of wood.
Yeah.
So there were like 20 people standing in a small room in the step, and we went through a fake door into another part of what was the same room, and he shouted at me in full hearing of absolutely everything.
Yeah, of course.
Because it's not real.
Was it like you would look up and there's just like, it's just like...
it's like if we went from one toilet cubicle to the other for privacy. But it's like the door, the tops and bottoms are not connected.
Yeah. Yes,
but was he shouting, please do not undermine me in front of everyone else on the crew?
And I was like, we're not in a different room. I was just trying to mime while listening to him that we weren't in a private space. Everyone, they can hear that.
Yeah.
But the thing, it would be easy for me to make fun of my erstwhile friend there. But like, it's really hard to make student films. And when you graduate from film school, I thought I'm never going to make all of these mistakes, and I probably did make all of them.
Yeah.
I went to the London Film School, and the way they do it is, after you've made your film, they screen it to the tutors, who by this point hate you. And then you sit at the front where the screen is, and then they tell you their opinion of your film, and you aren't allowed to say anything. which feels like a sort of a kind of show trial from a sort of a late communist state.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
100%.
It sounds like a roast. It's like a roast, but nobody is enjoying it.
And nobody loves you.
Yeah. It's a roast from people who don't like you. Are really tired.
Because like the only reason those roasts are anyway funny, if they even are, is because like those people tend to love the other person.
Saying it out of friendship. Yeah. I love that the idea that they started by going, before we give you feedback on your film, we'd just like you to know nobody here loves you.
You're incredibly unloved.
It was not necessary for them to say that. And on this occasion.
The vibe.
I was expecting it to be bad, but it was. They hated my film so much. I'm not saying it was as good as you would expect a student film to be. Like it had some, I'd made an effort, but people laughed at it during the screening, and it wasn't a comedy.
That's bad, brutal.
Right? That's bad.
I would give anything to see this film.
You would be disappointed.
Yeah.
You're like bored within 30 seconds. Like, oh, yeah, no, I can see their point.
Yeah, okay.
And in the same week, like the day before that, I did my first open mic.
Oh.
And so I don't know. I've never had one of those. Some people have really horrible runs at the Edinburgh Fringe. Some people have the sort of things that you sort of carry with you for like about a year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was more than that. You know, how much they hated the film really stayed with me for a long time. But the reason it feels like a narrow escape is that is getting to do, like I did, I went to the Cavendish Arms in South London and I did 5 minutes. And I won the clap off at the end,
yes!
And I got a plastic
trophy.
Yeah, what was it? It was a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man because they'd run out of trophies. That
That's better.
It is better.
Yeah.
I think I still have it, but I don't know where.
Well, that you would keep. The other ones, you're like, all right.
But it felt like, have you had this thing like, sometimes like you've just had a really bad gig and then somebody happens to catch you and say, oh, I saw your gig the other day and it was really good.
For sure.
Yeah. For sure for having the bad gig, or for sure for just being having the opportunity, like when people just sort of catch you at the right moment and you get a bit of good news.
Oh, the compliment. Oh, I understand what you meant about the compliment. I get that all the time.
You get a lot of compliments.
No, like that feeling of like you're cringing at how bad that gig was and it was like really uncomfortable. And then, yeah, occasionally you have those moments where like some random encounter means that one person just goes, I really enjoyed that, by the way. And you're like, oh, maybe it wasn't as bad as I thought it was.
Yeah.
Like my third gig, I think, was the first time I died.
Yeah.
In Dirty Dicks, if you remember it.
Oh!
R.I.P.
God.
I think there's not
those
a gig
dicks
there
were dirty. They were unhygienic dicks. Yeah.
And it was it all full of like guys who worked in the city, but presumably weren't doing that well.
Yeah.
So
not a
good hopeful vibe.
And I was.
You need to pay £5 to do that gig.
Did you? I forgot.
Well, they would say you have to pay £5 and we'll send you your footage.
Mm.
But if you went, oh, I don't want my footage, they'd go, well, then we'll prioritize somebody who wants the footage.
Okay.
So you would have to pay £5 to do the gig, which is so bad.
It's quite bad.
I heard I've never actually done it because I heard so many terrible things about it.
I had some nice ones. It's not that. In fact, this one, the first time it was horrible, and then I was using a urinal, which I might have to explain. The like toilet, but you stand up. Yeah.
Wait. Okay. Start from the beginning.
Okay.
Hold. Okay.
Yeah.
Your horses.
You're like standing up.
It's just, and you
can stand up.
People can come and stand next to you and use the same. I know it's all. I don't know what we were thinking.
Are you holding hands?
It's roundabout.
Okay.
And while I was doing that, a guy came up to stand next to me and he said very quietly, he whispered, because I died completely. I hadn't got a single laugh. Yeah. He whispered, I thought you were the best.
Oh, that's really nice.
And I was like, yeah.
Take your hand off my penis.
But it was nice. Like, that's he may have been taking the piss, but obviously he was doing quite the opposite.
Yeah.
But he might have not been being serious, but I think he just thought that it's a real kindness. All right,
yeah.
And you deserved slightly better.
I think he probably was. You can tell when someone's making fun of you.
Yes, I hope so.
Did you in turn make him feel awful by going, "That's really nice," but also never whisper your line?
You don't. That was kind, but this is really bad etiquette.
I know I'm a good comedian. You should know you're a creep.
But yeah, student films. I've done some. There's one particular one that I'm so embarrassed, like, to this day. Like, this will be like a cringe in my. It was like my ex-boyfriend, and I was just visiting him, and we were not together anymore. And I was visiting him in Canada to sort of like end the whole thing in person as opposed to over the phone. And
what a great time to get involved in a student film. mid transatlantic breakup. So I was just popping to Canada to break up with a guy, and
I think I got a friend.
How did you get roped in? There's just so many alarm bells already.
we need a crying woman.
She'll do. Oh, I'm gonna blush so much. I find it genuinely embarrassing.
I'm sorry. I'm so excited to hear
this. It's fine. It's fine. I don't even know if I can tell it. I can.
You can do it.
How red am I? So yeah, he had a friend. And this guy made movies or something, and he was just like, oh, he wants to shoot this movie with me, but he needs a girl. So I was like, okay, fine. I was like still in love with the guy. So I was like, sure, you know, I'll do it. And it was a story about a young...
Anything to remind you that I'm a girl.
Yeah. And then it was a story about a Yeti, a girl who turns into a Yeti.
Oh, Mickey, no. Oh, Mickey.
Was any part of you thinking you'd win him back? This would be the thing. If I show him how cool and relaxed and talented I am.
In this Yeti costume that I think. That I think was like, what's the guy from Star Wars?
Chewbacca.
I think it was a Chewbacca costume.
You went to up with a boy in Canada.
No, he had broken up with me.
He broke up with you.
And then I went to Canada.
He put you in a Chewbacca costume.
It was his friend, I guess. But yeah. And then I was in a Chewbacca costume in this. It was also winter in Canada, and it had to be shot in a forest. So I was outside. In a Chewbacca costume. And it was just... The whole day, I was just like, this is the worst thing I've ever done in my life. This is the most embarrassing thing I've ever done in my life. I can't believe it.
Was your ex-boyfriend even there?
Yeah, he was there. He was the guy. He was like the hunter.
The symbolism of this is troubling.
And yeah, anyway. Oh,
he's trying... So, to kill
could
you?
You see your face? Or were you?
Okay,
so there's no way of escaping
from this. I was
like
turning into a girl from being a Yeti, or I was a girl and I was turning into a Yeti. Anyway, this whole thing was like a shot. And then months later, I was like, I'd also just started doing stand up at this point. So I was like, what if this comes out?
Does it exist on the internet?
So I said to my boyfriend, my ex-boyfriend. Sorry, I love Patrick.
my ex-boyfriend, the love of my life.
And my ex. I said to my ex-boyfriend, I was like, can this not ever come to, like, I don't want to be in, I don't know if I can retroactively say, can I not be in this? But I don't want to be in this. And because they were friends, he was like, Mickey's uncomfortable. So the guy was like, oh, it's fine.
I genuinely feel relaxed to
right?
hear that.
I'm furious. I want this film.
I've only ever told one other person this story, my friend Larry.
I mean, you have to talk about that on stage. That's one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my life.
Larry is like, he's like determined to like, sometimes he'll just be like, what was the guy who made the movie? Like he's just determined to like find out.
A name. We need to get his name.
He's determined to find out the name of this guy who made this movie so that he can like email, like find out how to email him and get this footage.
I bet he still has the footage.
Do you have an IMDb entry? Because I'm going to check that.
And you should create one.
Yeah, you can create them.
What was the name
of
the film?
You want to watch this movie with me and my ex-boyfriend?
Yeah, but you're a Yeti and he's a hunter. Of course.
Hunter,
I want nothing more. That's all I want to see right now.
There was a moment as well where I was like, where it did get a bit Tarantino because he was like, he wanted this shot of my foot because the foot was the thing.
Big foot, of course.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
And so it's like he had this like Yeti foot, and then he wanted a shot of like, he was like, and then there's going to be a transition to like just your foot where like the Yeti was turning into the girl. And so I was like, with my shoes off in a forest in like November in Canada.
Oh,
like
God.
It was freezing.
Did you lose toes? And that's how I lost my three toes.
No, but I did lose every shred of dignity that I had. Okay. So
I love
anyway,
it so much.
That was the story.
Well, the film I was in is online.
Is it?
Yeah.
What's it called?
I'm not telling you. For what it's worth, Alistair, I'm very glad that you're a comedian and not a filmmaker.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Because it sounds like you sucked. Tell us, do you have a sliding doors moment?
Well, this is really just another cringe story, and I don't know if I don't know if I come up with it from it with any dignity. It became
excellent.
I did it.
I mean,
it's not going to be as bad as I didn't realize that you were going to set the bar so high with that. So there's no way I can.
Me neither.
That.
And that's not even, we're not even at episode one. Like, Mickey, that's like, Mickey's held that back.
How have you still got embarrassing stories
because she's got,
at this point?
She's got such a collection of, and they're always traveling to see an ex-boyfriend.
They really are. Oh, God. Anyway, yes.
Do go
so,
on.
Yes.
Well,
cringe away.
So I have told this in stand-up, obviously modified as you do when you tell. So I'm trying to remember the actual version of it because I now cringe about the fact that I had a routine about it.
Yes, double cringe.
Yeah. So when I was about 18, I thought it would be cool to make and wear a wizard's hat normally, just in normal life. I thought, stop, what are you miming? What is that mime?
I'm really enjoying the beginning of this story.
You're a cringe vampire.
I'm eating the cringe. I wouldn't have ever guessed what you were about to say.
No, that's it. That's what's great. Okay.
But I'm so happy you've said it.
Well, still, now as an adult, I don't know why we don't all just dress like Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, whatever it is. I don't know why people don't. It is a fun to wear a wizard's hat, and I don't know why no one in real life ever does. They're great when it's raining.
I guess not everyone has the same sexual preferences that you. You're walking around going, why aren't these women wearing wizard hats?
Yeah.
I made a wizard's hat and carefully waterproofed it, like a big, wide,
cloak?
Wide-brimmed. No, I'm not an idiot.
No.
Oh, you're not an idiot. No.
Just a wide grey brim.
Classy.
Wide brimmed, not one of the cone ones, but a wide brimmed.
Could
like
you
Gandalf's.
Give us a? Oh, okay, a Gandalf. I was going to say
some people
give us
would call them a witch's hat, but I regard both. I don't see gender, so
absolutely.
Please, we love it.
Yeah, and I wore it a fair amount, much to the chagrin of my then girlfriend, who was also my now girlfriend. but it was touch and go largely from
the wizard
hat.
Yeah.
The wizard hat was a big part of the issues at the time.
What material was it made out of? Just out of interest,
I think cotton.
Cotton.
I think cotton. Yes.
How do you want to
prove cotton?
Which
I painted it with the spray that you would use for shoes. Like if anybody's interested in making a wizard's hat, I use wire to give it its internal structure, so I could get the top nicely sort of crooked.
Yes.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
I believe some of our listeners are these types of freaks.
We've got some real freaky deaky people out there, Alistair.
And I kept it for, I wore it whenever I could. It was lovely to wear in the rain because the rain drums on the brim. Sorry, the I became rain. Overwhelmed with shame. Way the rain drummed on the brim.
Being in a tent constantly.
Yeah, it's like being in a tent. The sound of rain, it's relaxing, lovely. Isn't it? What if that were coming from a wizard's hat that you were wearing?
We just constantly like lulled into a false sense of security.
Yes. I was about 19, I think.
Okay.
So older than you might think. Mm. Old enough that people would yell out of passing vehicles about it a lot.
Right. Because I was sort of I was hoping 8.
No, I was an adult, essentially an adult. I was legally.
Oh, I really thought
and biologically an adult.
Mm, yeah.
Because I don't think you're
19 also I don't find surprising, because while a wizard hat might be sort of out of the ordinary, that is the type of that is an age where you're still going like, I'm going to cut myself a fringe.
Yeah, what's my identity?
And be a different person. I'm going to put on a hat. I'm a hat person now. I'm going to put on a wizard's hat. Like,
I'm a wizard guy.
I'm a wizard.
It's a more extreme example, but that is what people do.
It's often a guy when you're like 18, 19 who's like, I'm going to be the trilby guy.
Yeah, or a top hat. Yeah. We had a top hat.
I wore a hat for a bit.
Did you? Mm. What kind of hat?
Little bowler.
Like a fatinator.
Little bowler hat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's funny how teenagers never look around at the adults in their life and go, isn't it weird how no adults are wearing a trilby?
Yeah. But you know, it's like when you finally learn, you know, the thing of like people say, oh, you shouldn't wear what the models wear. You're supposed to wear what the designers wear. Like the models wear all the crazy stuff that the designers are like. Mm. We should put this out there, but they're not wearing it.
Yeah, that's true, actually. You never see anybody wearing that, really.
I think I don't know why, but I didn't wear it because I wanted attention, which I think is probably what you assume when you see someone
wearing
it.
No, I think you're trying
to identity. I just wanted
identities.
To wear it for me. I wanted to wear it and for it to be not commented upon. And the world is not prepared to go in that.
No,
I want to wear a wizard hat and I want nobody to say anything about it. Don't mention the hat. Otherwise, I'll be really humorless about it.
And a t-shirt that says, please don't mention my hat. And then another thing on the back of the t-shirt that says, and also don't ask about the t-shirt.
And then a nice, decent pair of khakis.
Yeah.
So
lovely, civilized wizard khakis.
I have to get to the part of the story that I really cringe about. And I don't
good.
Know. And this is
That's
this,
not it
this
yet.
Part of the story. It's not an event. It happens completely inside my head. So I had a neighbor. So I wore the hat on and off. I had a neighbor in the town where I lived. I don't know him. I never spoke to him. And he was a person of restricted growth. So he was a small person.
Mm-hmm.
Two times while I would see him regularly while walking the street. Two times while walking in the street. Once I was walking right behind him wearing the wizard's hat. And the other time I was carrying a plastic sword as a prop for a film. And
oh my god, Alistair.
I didn't do that. I didn't make the situation happen.
No,
I didn't,
it just happened.
It just happened.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But the image we created haunts me.
Yes.
How I have thrust this upon. He's just going somewhere.
Did he know you?
I hope. No, he didn't. I don't think he knew me. And I hope he never noticed. I hope he didn't turn around and see me wearing the wizard's hat, because
I think he was taking the piss.
Yeah, like a really needlessly crafty hate crime.
Yeah.
I can't believe you made that.
Needlessly crafty hate crime.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So the hat was retired.
Yes.
Because of the damage.
Yes.
Or the narrowly averted, because if he had turned around and said, I just thought, I'm
with
you.
It's a great
hat.
Sliding doors. If he had noticed at all.
I'd still be wearing the hat if that situation hadn't happened.
Yeah.
That's what stopped the hat from existence.
That's what moved the hat out of regular circulation.
Worrying about causing offence, which is so fair, and it's good that you thought about that.
Yeah. I feel genuine
shame. Where's
the hat now? Well, I think I've subsequently made a second hat. Well, because now I do humorous internet videos, I'm always having to make funny costumes.
Yeah,
and props,
that's
so
great.
It's all justified.
That's
now.
Great now. Yeah.
I think when we moved house, I think it was one of the things that probably got accidentally sort of crushed and smashed.
Oh no!
Flat by my partner.
And karma
by your moving man who happened to be your neighbour. He's like, oh no! I stomped on a box.
Oh no!
That's that wizard hat.
I feel really ashamed.
It's probably absolutely fine, but I do love the idea of a cringe in your own head.
Yeah, it's because it didn't. Yeah. It's not. The situation didn't even really occur. It just nearly occurred.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's why it's like.
Oh yeah. I'm totally with you.
I'm fully with you.
Yeah, the hypothetical is sometimes as powerful as the reality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Also worse because you have a pet eagle. And just, you didn't mention that he was there too.
I was there with a full fellowship of friends.
Oh, man.
All in gloves.
That's excellent.
Excellent stuff.
So good. Thank you so much for telling this. Thank you
so much.
Is that it? I come on and I say things and I feel horrible and then the podcast ends with no catharsis.
Yeah, not everyone always feels this way. Like,
oh, okay. So have other people enjoyed it?
Some people have fun.
Some people have really enjoyed this, Alistair.
Yeah.
But we're glad to hear that you had a terrible time.
No, you were fantastic. Thank you so much for coming
on. Yeah, thank you so much.
Tell
people about your tour.
Podcast.
Where can people find you?
I'm on tour. It's called the Interdimensional ABK. It's a UK tour, Scotland, Northern Ireland, not Wales.
Aww.
Not Wales, pointedly. Not going to Wales. Will not.
Pointedly.
Yeah. As a deliberate snub against Wales. No, it's just admin, just for purely administrative reasons. Yes. So if I'm coming to a town near you, if you live in one of the 20 towns that I'm still coming to.
Great. But, when are you on tour?
If you don't, then I'm not.
When are you on tour until?
It's mostly April, May this year.
Great.
And a couple of dates in London in June.
Cool. Oh, lovely.
Lovely stuff.
And where can they find your online stuff if they haven't?
Well, my name is Alistair Beckett King, and my YouTube is A Beckett King, and on Twitter I'm at Mr. ABK.
Alistair with a D. Alistair with a D, yeah.
I think if you Google it, it's fine because Google doesn't.
Figures it out for you.
Yeah, corrects the spelling. There's no way, realistically, the listener is going to spell my name correctly.
No.
Good luck.
If you get close, you'll find.
Yeah.
Mr.
If you Google the Interdimensional ABK, then the video that I was talking about, the animation, comes up. And that's quite a good indication of how much effort I'm prepared to put into
an
idea.
And it's so good.
An entertainment premise, yeah. It's so good.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Alistair.
Thank you very much.
Great to have you.
Bye.
Bye.
Alistair Beckett King!
That was Alistair Beckett King. Oh,
that was so great.
We tortured the shit out of him.
That was so... It was so enjoyable.
So good.
And then him being like, is that it? Do I just feel this way now?
So I just walk away from this after everything you know? Yeah, you do.
Because
entertainment is pain.
Mm. Yes.
Oh, what a lovely ep. Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. Keep sending us emails.
Keep sending us emails.
Keep signing up to the Patreon.
Yeah, we'd love you to sign up to our Patreon because we are putting some serious energy into Patreon content.
We
want you to come along and watch it.
Yes, we are. We just heard another amazing cringe from Alistair
cringe.
That is going to end up on Patreon, which is, it was just really...
involving a rat in a box.
A rat in a box.
No less.
Little teaser.
Little tease.
Little tease.
Little tease from Little Keys.
Tease from Keys.
Yeah.
So please do that. Please sign up. Please support us. And please come see us live.
Come see us live. Yeah. If you go on our social medias, you can find where we're performing.
Mm-hmm.
And we care about you.
We care about you. We love that you listen. We love that you are here.
We want to know what you sound like.
We want to know what you sound like. We want to meet you all.
Yeah. We want to know what your smiles are like.
Oh, God. I know where this is going to go.
Do your eyes light up?
No, don't. Oh, don't. No, I can see it. No. Oh, God. Oh, we'll never make it. We'll never make it once.
Why is that? I hate that that's my thing now.
Yeah, it can't. This is your own fault. I'll go do my thing, shall I?
Do a catchphrase.
Okay, so play, guys, thank you. And you'll hear us next time.
Thank you for listening to Thank Fuck for That. It was hosted by Mickey Overman and Sarah Keyworth. It was produced by Lucas Jeffcoat with music from Ben Cavanaugh.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.